Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I imagine that you may have seen portrayed in a movie or a TV show a scene where there's a group of soldiers and all of a sudden a grenade is lobbed by the opposing enemy into the midst of that group of soldiers. And with only moments to make a decision, with many lives on the line, one of the men, out of love for his brothers in arms, flings himself upon the grenade to sacrifice his life to save those of his comrades. It is a vivid and striking picture of sacrificial love and devotion. The Apostle Paul writes in our sermon text from Romans chapter 5, perhaps in a different translation, perhaps a good man, for a good man, someone would dare to die, but God shows his love to us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How amazing is God's love? While we were still helpless, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Maybe you've heard a story like this about a family that was caught in a blizzard on the interstate way out in the middle of nowhere, and they had spent the night in their vehicle trying to stay as warm as they could, but realizing that they had to go somewhere to get help, or they would all freeze to death. And so the family with kids in tow set out in the midst of that blizzard towards the closest town. And perhaps along the way, they get separated. The chain of hands is broken. And they eventually all, or so they think, arrive at their destination. But after they get there, they find that someone didn't make it. And so in a frantic frenzy, they retrace their steps and try to find the little child who was lost. By God's grace, they find him huddled up, shivering next to another vehicle on the side of the road. And they rush back to a place of warmth. And by God's grace, the little child is saved. That is a wonderful picture of God's amazing love for us. Through Jesus, our Savior. We were like a helpless little child lost and about to freeze to death if it wasn't for someone who came to find us and rescue us. Spiritually, we were helpless, without hope. But because of Jesus, our Savior, we had been rescued just in the nick of time. While we were still helpless, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, for us, according to our original sinful spiritual condition. We were spiritually lost and unable to find our way back to safety. And not only were we helpless on our own, but we were also counted among the ungodly. We were broken off from God. Our relationship with God had been broken because of our sins. We were separated from God's people. But at just the right time, at God's right time, just in the nick of time for us, Christ died for us and he rescued us. He brought us back once again into the safety and warmth of his Father's house. How great, how amazing is God's love for the helpless and the ungodly. God shows his love to us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe you've heard about some people, famous women, wealthy women, who have married their bodyguards. May seem kind of strange. Very often it's maybe a superstar, a famous singer, or an actress who has hired bodyguards and falls in love with one of them, and it seems like it's a match that might not work out because they're people from two different levels of society. Why would someone so famous So wealthy be attracted presumably to someone of less fame and wealth. But as we stop and think about that situation, maybe it's not entirely so strange after all, because those men who have been not only hired, but who pledge to guard and protect the wealthy woman that they are protecting, have made that pledge to, even if necessary, be willing to take a bullet, to lay down their life to protect the person that they were hired to guard and care for. They're so committed that they are willing to die for them. And that kind of commitment is bound to create admiration and perhaps sometimes also love. God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love was so great that he sent his son to take a bullet for us. Jesus came and he took the shame and the humiliation, the beatings, the scourging, the nails, and the spear for us. And he did this for us sinners, for us who were bound under the curse and the power of sin, for us who consistently through our sin have missed the mark of the standard of obedience that God has set for us. How great is God's love for the sinner? While we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. I imagine you probably also heard stories about people who give a kidney to someone else to help save the life of that person whose kidneys are in failure and who are in desperate need of a transplant. Very often it's the case that it's an immediate family member, because in that way the organ and the blood type and everything else are a close match. What an amazing example of love that is. Someone who is willing to literally give a part of their own body, not a minor part, to help and save the life of someone dear to them that they dearly love. And just as we read from the Apostle Paul in our text, yes, for a good man, for someone you know and love and care about, a person might be willing to die or might be willing to give up a part of their own body. But God's amazing love for us is that while we were still enemies of him spiritually, totally opposed to his will in our unbelief and our sin, in that sinful spiritual state, enemies of him, we were reconciled to him by the death of his son Jesus. Every now and then there are surveys and studies of Christians, including biblical, Bible-believing Lutheran Christians. And those studies consistently show a significant portion of those Christian believers who believe that they first have to come to faith and love God and obey God's commandments before God would show love to them. But God's word, the Bible, tells us the exact opposite. It tells us that before we ever came to faith in God, before we ever loved him, God loved us and reconciled us to himself by the death of his son. Now we might try to object and say, how could I be an enemy of God? I've never murdered anyone. I've never committed adultery. I've never embezzled. I've never robbed anyone. Perhaps not. But all of us must confess to sins that we have committed in our hearts, in our minds, and in our words, and in various actions. Maybe not as severe as those sins that land people in jail for many years or for a lifetime, but sins that go against God's will and against his law. One example that we must all confess is the sin of indifference. Think about if a husband and wife live in the same house But never ask each other about their feelings or how they're doing or express any affection or show any kindness or pay any attention at all to each other. Would you call that love? If they went on their way day after day and were totally indifferent to each other? Hardly. And thus it is when people do not seek after God, and when we go our own way, as if God did not exist at all. In that circumstance, there is clearly enmity in our hearts against God. Because even though it may seem to be indifference, just not caring at all about God and His will, really indifference at its heart is opposition to God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, "He who is not with me is against me." God looks at a person's heart, and He tells us in Psalm 14 that they have all gone astray. They are all alike corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. And so even the child of God, even the Christian, must in sorrow confess such indifference at times in our hearts to God. But wonder of wonders, God shows His love for us in this, that while we were still enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. God is indeed for us, but He had something against us. We were His enemies. Yet in His immeasurable love and in His infinite wisdom, He found a way whereby we might be reconciled to Him. It was through the sacrificial death of His own Son, so that now we are justified, declared righteous and holy by the blood of Jesus, our Savior. There's a popular idea that all will be well with us if we just tell each other that everything is well and good. If we just tell ourselves everything is good, then it is. We can just manifest those positive feelings into reality. All we have to do is affirm that we are all valuable human beings, and then everything will be okay. There will be peace and brotherhood among all people. Well, certainly it is true that we are all valuable human beings created by our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, but that doesn't change the fact that we are also sinners. I may come to you and say, I feel really terrible about what I said and what I did to the person whom I love, and you may say to me, "That's okay. You are still a valuable human being to me." So I am a valuable person, but the fact still remains that I have acted in a terrible way. We may tell each other, "I'm okay, and you're okay," but that does not remove the guilt of our sins. But if God, who has the authority to forgive sin, says, "On the basis of the death of my Son, because of the shedding of His precious blood, I declare your sins to be forgiven and everything to be okay," then indeed that message from God can be believed. Then there is a basis for our mutual affirmation, because this affirmation comes from God Himself. Then it can be believed because the wrong has been paid for. It's not simply good feelings, mutual self-delusion, but rather it is truly an absolution. An absolution as real as the death of Jesus itself. And God assures us that it is valid. As valid as if God Himself were speaking to us. How great is the love of God, which pronounces a former enemy like us to be His friend and not only his friends, but his dearly loved sons and daughters. But there's more. The Apostle Paul continues, since we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Much more shall we be saved by his life. Jesus not only died for us, but he also now lives for us. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives, my kind, wise, heavenly friend. He lives and loves me to the end. With Christ Jesus living as our friend, there is no need to fear anything in the present. There is no need to fear anything in the future. No need to fear death or judgment, since we already now are friends and children of God. And if God was willing to go to such lengths while we were still his enemies, surely he will not forsake us now that we are his friends, now that we are numbered among his people, among the very children of his own family. If everything is okay right now between us and God, and he assures us that it is through Jesus, then we can surely count on everything being okay between us and him in the future. He will not forsake us in our time of need. He will not forsake us in the hour of our death or on the day of judgment. How great is God's love to us as the helpless, as the ungodly, to us as sinners, to us who were his enemies. And therefore, we rejoice. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation, being restored to a loving and harmonious relationship with God. We now boast in this good news of God's love for us. We don't boast in ourselves or in our own merits and the things that we have done or the things that we have achieved, but we are proud of our God. God tells us also through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. We boast in the love of our God. We boast in the reconciling death of his Son Jesus. We boast in the cleansing blood of Jesus' cross. We don't boast about that in a bragging sort of way as if we have done anything, but we tell everyone we can about the amazing love of God for us. And we join together with all other believers and all the saints and angels in heaven singing this song of praise that the Apostle John records for us in Revelation chapter 1. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, who has made us kings and priests to our God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.